Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. From 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, here on UCY.TV Radio, we relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is March 19th, 2018. It's 8 o'clock here on the West Coast, and it's still gray because it's not May. So thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We have a returning guest with us, Paula Brown, who is actually working to save a form of healing for us. So, Paula, why don't you introduce yourself again to our listeners? You were with us once before, but I'd like you to sort of reacquaint them with you because your topic is not our usual discussing nuclear pollution or the nuclear liars. Yours is more on the end of healing people. Like, what do we do after we get exposed? So why don't you give us a little background on who you are and where you're with?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me back on the show. I really enjoy being on your show, Lonnie. I think you do some awesome work here. So my name is Paola Brown. And I'm the president of homeopathychoice.org, and we are an organization that is really primarily made up of moms, but we really represent the consumer voice. And homeopathy is a specific paradigm of natural medicine. I like to say going to the store and buying some herbs and calling it homeopathic is like saying you're going to go get some acupuncture, but you actually go get a massage. So the word homeopathy is not synonymous with like home remedies. It is a form of natural medicine, but it's a very specific paradigm. I think the most common homeopathic medicine that people recognize is Arnica Montana. It's used for bumps and bruises and injuries. And so that might help you kind of get a frame of reference. But homeopathy is a very specific paradigm of medicine. It's only 200 years old, so not quite as old as like herbs and, you know, and natural medicine that's been around since, you know, the birth of time. But it is an old medicine that is very well established here in the United States. I like to point out that there's actually a monument in Washington, D.C. dedicated to Samuel Hahnemann, the father of homeopathy. President McKinley dedicated that monument. And I actually, if you go to our Facebook page, Americans for Homeopathy Choice, if you go there, we have a video that I did last Thursday at the monument. I did a Facebook Live, and I kind of walk you through it and show you the monument. So it's a large monument. So, interestingly, homeopathy is covered inside Congress law of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. Homeopathy is protected there. We have, you know, the United States Pharmacopoeia that covers, like, all the drugs and, you know, conventional drugs. Then you have a separate book called the Homeopathic Pharmacopoeia of the United States. And that is the book of homeopathy. So,
So say your website again. What's the name of your website again?
Sure. Yes, homeopathychoice.org. www.facebook.org.
Okay, and the name of your Facebook page?
Americans for Homeopathy Choice.
Okay, that's great. So, look, one of the things that we do here is we like to bring on people that understand healing and give us an idea of why, what is homeopathy? You said it's not as old, it's not like natural remedies. Well, I personally have benefited from homeopathy, but I still could not explain to you what it is because it's not really medicine, right? It's not like pharmaceuticals.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's not... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Finish.
Well, I mean, because when you get... Like, when you go to the store, if you're going to go buy herbs, you get these little tinctures, and they look brown or they look golden. You can kind of see the plant in that, right? But with homeopathy,
yeah.
You take little tablets. Like, they look like little...
Yeah.
Pills or, you know, and you most of the time you put them sublingually underneath your tongue, you know.
Right.
And so
that's right. Well, we do have some tinctures in homeopathy. So homeopathy is generally two main principles to kind of differentiate homeopathy. An herbal tincture is like when you go, you know, like let's say you're wildcrafting an herb. You go and you select the proper parts of the plant. You know, sometimes it's the stem, sometimes it's the bark, sometimes it's the leaves, and you dry them, and then you put them in alcohol, a high-quality alcohol, and it becomes that tincture, and then you decant it so that you remove all the little, you know, leaves or whatever was in there, and then you have your herbal tincture. So in homeopathy, generally speaking, we actually do use herbal tinctures sometimes, and I'll talk about that in a second. But generally speaking, they take that herbal tincture, we call it the mother tincture, and they dilute it down to the point that it is no longer, you cannot find material amounts of the original substance in that. And so this is where, like, the great minds of medicine walk away, because they say, well, this water that has been diluted, and it's a very specific pharmacological process to dilute the tincture down, okay? But they'll dilute it down, and what's left is a frequency is left in that water of the original substance, but there's no material, generally speaking. Sometimes, you know, when it's not diluted as much, there might be a little tiny bit, but generally speaking, there's no material amounts of the substance left in that water, and it's rendered non-toxic. So that's the first part of homeopathy, is that in general, it's usually diluted down, you know, in a very specific process that renders it non-toxic and safe. But the other half of it is that we use the principles of like heals like. And so let me give you an example of that to help you kind of wrap your mind around that principle. It's a very important principle in homeopathy.
It is. And actually, I'll make a comment about this, because this is how the nuclear industry used homeopathy. Go ahead and explain how it works. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And then I'd love to hear what you have to say to follow up. So let's pretend you have an onion in your hands, and just imagine yourself taking a big bite of that juicy onion. You know, what kind of symptoms will that onion produce in your body? You'll likely, at least for me, when I chop onions, my eyes will burn and water. I always get like egg white, runny nose. And so those, and maybe, I'm trying to think what else. I might sneeze a little bit. Sometimes it causes people to sneeze. And so onion in its crude form, in its original form, produces those symptoms. Now, think about an illness that has very similar symptoms. I think people who suffer from seasonal allergies or like the early onset of a cold, you get that egg white, runny nose, burning eyes, watery eyes. So if you have those symptoms in a disease, the homeopathic preparation of onion can cure those symptoms. But the interesting thing is, you know, let's say your friend hands you a bottle of homeopathic onion, and we use the Latin name, Allium Cepa. Let's say you have allergies, and your friend says, oh, take this. But your allergies, Lonnie, let's pretend they manifest in itchy skin. Or let's say the roof of your mouth itches. Okay, or your nose itches like crazy, and they give you Allium Cepa, you're going to try it, and it's not going to work, because the symptoms of this homeopathic medicine does not appropriately match your symptoms, and you're not following the principle of like heals like. So just because it helps your friend's allergies, it doesn't mean that it'll help your allergies, but very highly individualized in that sense.
Well, that makes sense. I think that makes sense. I've actually benefited from homeopathy. You know what I mean? I think we shared that in the last interview.
We did.
Mm-hmm. And many times, like I do, and I sort of lean on it when I have things that are off. I'll go buy some homeopathic medicine. And it's not hard to self-test. I don't know if anybody understands body testing, but you can do this with anything. It's a kinesiology trick my kinesiologist taught me, so that how do you know what's right for you? Well, your body knows. So you take mm-hmm. that item, you put it up to your chest, hold your right arm out, and ask someone to push your arm down. If your arm is weaker than without that body being on your body, whatever it is, you can do it with music, food. Try it with a everybody could do this. Just take an apple and take a Coca-Cola, and you stand up and you ask someone, put them on the table, and ask someone to push your arm down and see how much resistance you have. You put the Coca-Cola next to your body, I don't care how big you are, your arm will fall down. Then you put it down mm-hmm. on the table, you put an apple next to your heart, you hold the apple close to your heart and ask someone to move your arm will be substantially the strongest of the three tries.
Yeah. I've had that. I'm a terrible muscle tester on myself, so I always have someone else do it for me.
You have to really do it. You must have someone do it for yourself. You can't really test your own. It's kind of a hard thing to test yourself.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, we need other people to test us. That's why, I've walked into a store mm-hmm. and said, hey, can you just push my arm down? Like, I was in the produce market. There was some weird produce there, and I couldn't tell if it was, a nightshade, and I really avoid nightshade plants. So I said, hey, uh-huh, could you uh-huh. hold my arm? Could you push my arm down? And he's like, sure. So then I picked up the vegetable. I put it to my arm. I'm like, would you do that again? The guy looked at me like I was crazy. And my arm fell right down. I'm like, okay, I know that's not for me. I put it back.
Right.
So this
is,
you can do this. But the homeopathy thing is, my comment was about the nuclear industry, because the Republicans regularly run a candidate here in my district. His name is Art Robinson. And he goes around, he gave water from Hanford to his own kids. Because he said, like heals like. There's a long history of knowledge, of medical knowledge, that like heals like. And if we drink a little bit of this, it will make us stronger. For real. Hmm. I mean, this is how insidious the nuclear industry is, and frankly, the medical industry is, to really compare homeopathy with drinking radioactivity. But this guy runs
it
all
ridiculous.
The time. Yes, it is ridiculous.
I love your
explanation about the onion, because this is not we're giving you the disease. It's not like vaccines where we're mm-hmm. giving you the disease mm-hmm. to make you resistant to the disease. This is actually using food groups that manage those specific symptoms, brought down to their core element and really made so tiny you can just take a few droplets of it and put it in your mouth and you get the benefit of those symptoms. And it's all based on real science, like healing sciences, on how that plant interacts with the human body.
I see probably two or three main issues that come with homeopathy that you can't run away from. And the first one is, you know, this idea that it is so highly diluted that it becomes, you know, you have a frequency and energetic pattern that is actually stimulating the healing. I think for a lot of people, you know, who think they're, you know, who are just so familiar, I guess, with, you know, the traditional way of even herbal healing, even allopathic healing, we need the material amounts to kind of force our bodies to do what we need it to do. And homeopathy is so much more gentle than that. And I find that for everyone, that's kind of when they're willing to try homeopathy, that's kind of the first hurdle that they just need to accept, that this is something that maybe doesn't make a ton of sense, but they're willing to try it to see if it impacts their body in a positive way. You know, and the wonderful thing is, you know, I don't have to convince anyone. As long as they try it and the correct remedy is selected, they will have that success. And, you know, homeopathy works. I call it my workhorse. I do a lot of essential oils. I do herbs. I do, you know, we live on a farm. We produce a lot of our own food. I believe in all those things, but homeopathy is my workhorse. It really helps us out when we're sick. And so that's the wonderful thing, is if people can just get over the fact that it's kind of hard for you to understand right now at first glance and your first exposure, and you just try it and you use the appropriate remedy, then you can really experience the benefits of homeopathy. But I think the other trick is, you know, I do believe in muscle testing. I think it's really great, and I think it's a wonderful way to help identify, especially like in the food aisle. I love that story, you know. But the thing with homeopathy, it does take a little bit more knowledge. Like, I feel like with herbs or essential oils, it's like, okay, easy. Peppermint for fevers, or, you know, passion flower for anxiety, you know, in the herbal side. It's pretty easy, you know, one plus
that
one is this.
That is true.
And homeopathy is more individualized.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll tell you what, you can actually do, for me, you can go to doctors can actually, a really good, like a chiropractor, a kinesiologist, that's who just prescribed my homeopathy, right?
Homeopathic.
Yeah, but he was a kinesiologist and a homeopath, and he had all these things that he could do, right? So he suggested that I do this, but then, oh, I beg your pardon. So he suggested that when I called him when I started going through menopause, he said, look, there are some homeopathic stuff you can take. Go down to the health food store and body test yourself. You can see which one you need. There's two types. Mm-hmm. And I actually did do that. And I really went through menopause in a week and a half. I did not have symptoms after. I mean, his advice to me was the bottle will say take every 3 to 4 hours. He said every time you get a symptom, put 2 or 3 under your tongue, and then, you know, and so like in a week and a half, I went through 2 bottles. The first 2 days I was putting a symptom under my tongue every 15 minutes because I was really getting hot flashes and just really irrational, just emotional. It was just like this weird explosion happened in my body. But within a week and a half, it all sort of went away. I actually didn't finish 2 full bottles. I went back and bought another bottle, and I started taking it much less. And then I didn't need it anymore.
And then you kind of wean yourself off. Yeah, you wean yourself off.
I just didn't. That's what I mean. I didn't finish the bottle because I didn't need it, right? I felt back to normal again. Yeah. So I understand how it works, but it's important that people, I think, respect homeopathic, you know, and alternative care doctors as true healers, like kinesiologists. Yeah. Now, I have been to some quack chiropractors myself. I'll just tell you that straight up. People that I would never go back to. That crack in your back kind of stuff, I don't dig that at all, but I know some people who love it. So, it takes all kinds.
We it's important to have that freedom to for you to go out and explore and go through your healing journey and identify what works for you. Now, I do want to say something, Lonnie. I love you likely took what I like to call a combination remedy for your hormone issues, and that's where they, you know, we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of homeopathic ingredients, right? And so what they'll often do is they'll mix those ingredients like that are most common for menopause. And then you take them, and one of those ingredients is going to have a really big impact.
I don't know.
Remember, it was a combo remedy?
No, it wasn't. It was specific. But the health food store that I bought them from, they have a book, a really good book in there, and you look up all your different symptoms. And their symptoms are lot, like, huge. So you pick which one you want, and you have to identify. Right. And the list of symptoms is really long, not just I'm having hot flashes. It's really about you're craving sweets.
Is it in the middle of the night? Are you irritable?
Right,
are your
hot
flashes make you clammy? Exactly. Are you, like, dripping, rolling beads of sweat? Right, they're very highly individualized.
Right,
so
you go through this whole
checklist.
They sell
these combo remedies.
It's a big book, and you go through the checklist, and you decide, and then you body test. So I'm fortunate that I live in a town that has that. So that's the difference.
Right.
Like, when I lived in Redondo Beach, we didn't really have that either. We had Whole Foods, and they sold it, but how do you know, right? So,
The point I'm trying to make is I think, it's amazing how different communities will have these awesome stores that are just very well equipped and well prepared to help you. But if you don't have that, they sell these combo remedies, even at Walgreens or at Walmart, or it doesn't even necessarily have to be a vitamin shop. You know, they have like Cold Calm, or they have, you know, sinus relief, and they have these combo remedies that are homeopathic. And I think it's a really great way to kind of get you in the world of homeopathy, is because these combo remedies are pretty easy. But But yeah, if you have a more chronic condition, like I would say that menopause turns into very quickly a kind of a chronic thing that people struggle with for years. You definitely want to, you know, I think your health food store was more, you know, your kinesiologist was a professional. I strongly recommend working with a homeopath. You know, there are naturopaths that do a little bit of homeopathy on the side, but in general, naturopaths do about one rotation in their medical training on homeopathy. And I think if, you know, try and find the most qualified homeopath available to you. A lot of them do Skype appointments or over the phone appointments. But, you know, just keep in mind that not every practitioner will be as versed in homeopathy as others. And it's important to kind of discern that. So I have like a chiropractor that I go when I need an adjustment, you know, and I have someone else that does iridology. She looks at my eyes and she's really good at herbs. And I go to her for that in particular. But then I have a homeopath that I work with specifically for homeopathy because I want, you know, someone who's as knowledgeable as possible. So I like to throw that out there. You know, and I think it's great,
Paula,
to have your team.
All these people, though, mm-hmm. Does your insurance cover them?
No.
See, that's most people. No, they won't go to those people because they can't get it on their insurance. So this is where a lot of it is also, you know, the resistance. I mean, I personally have been an insurance protester for a long, 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 longer than before I found homeopathy. I was protesting him, and then I ended up being sick, and then I met my kinesiologist, and he, you know, he has all these degrees and all this stuff that he does. I met a really good, well-qualified person, but believe you me, a few times I had tried alternatives and they were quacks. And I just, when I went to see Dr. Bob the first time, I thought, ugh, he's going to be awesome. Just another quack, you know? And I hit the jackpot for me personally. But, you know, you're right about this, that people, we do have to like, and if you don't feel, if you don't have a good gut about somebody, don't go back to them. That's kind of my rule.
Yeah, that's right.
Like,
yeah,
you're probably right. If you think they're a quack, they probably are. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably not
for you.
They're
not the right fit for you. Yeah.
Right.
Your body's kind of telling you this isn't the person, you know.
So one of the things that you did before was that you went to Washington recently. So what was that about? Why don't you review that with our listeners and let them know what you went and did?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So, homeopathychoice.org. I'm the president of this organization, and like I said, we're mainly a consumer group made up of moms. But we popped up out of nowhere just this past December, right after Christmas. The 26th of December was the first time we had our meeting, and basically, the reason we came out is because the FDA published a draft guidance on adjusting the compliance policy guides that guides the manufacturing and marketing of homeopathy. And this draft guidance had us very concerned, and we did not like what we saw and so we formed to basically bring this to the attention of our congressmen and our senators so that we can push back against this this draft guidance. And so basically, let me give you the review. For 30 years, homeopathy has been regulated through the Compliance Policy Guide Section 400.400. So it's this document that the FDA uses. They call it their playbook. They use this playbook to regulate the manufacturing and marketing of homeopathy. So let me say something that the FDA does that is good, okay? It's hard to believe that that's possible. But they do something, well, they have done for 30 years something that has been good for homeopathy. When you pick up a bottle of like Arnica Montana 200, that's that remedy I was telling you guys about, FDA has inspected and ensured that the manufacturing of Arnica Montana has been so standardized and so efficient that you have the confidence in our country to know that if this has been, you know, if this has the HPUS label on it, which is the FDA's label, that means they've inspected this and what is written on the label is actually inside the bottle. And that's good. We want that to be efficient. I know I have friends that have traveled to India, and the pharmacies out there, I mean, they're very varied. Some have very high quality products that they're making and some are not. And that's because, you know, they don't have that kind of industry standard there. And we want the FDA to continue doing that very well. But what happened is in this draft guidance, this is what they said, Lonnie. They said that, quote, this is in their press release. They said, quote, the FDA has to protect consumers from products that may deliver little to no benefit. So now they're shifting away from the standard manufacturing and making sure that what's on the bottle is in the bottle, and they're shifting towards, no, we feel like we need to make sure that we need to get into your mind and tell you if we think this is actually effective enough for you to have access to this.
Say that again, Paul. That's kind of interesting language. Repeat the language again.
It is very interesting. So they say, quote, FDA needs to protect people from products that may deliver little to no benefit. So who determines whether or not homeopathy delivers benefits or not? I think it's the consumer.
What's the benefit? What's the value of the benefit? Like, they may say that delivering oil to the United States is a benefit, or nuclear technology is
it's
a benefit.
Very interpretive.
I don't believe that that's a benefit. I think that's a big negative.
Right. So yeah, that's a very interpretive language, right? It comes down to, maybe I think it's a benefit and maybe you don't, but that doesn't mean that I should limit your access to that and that they should limit my access to that. So that really had us concerned, is now they're kind of shifting from, you know, what the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act paved the way for the FDA is so that they could really standardize these products. What's written on the label is actually what's inside the label. I remember when they were delivering raw milk back in the day, you know, before they started pasteurizing milk, they were putting white powder in the milk. And, you know, you think you're buying milk, but that's not actually what was in there, because they were trying to make the milk look good because they weren't managing it properly. And so the purpose of the FDA is to make sure what's on the label is in the label. But they should not regulate our ability. Once we know what's on the label is in the bottle, they shouldn't regulate our ability to determine whether or not we should use this or that. As long as it's safe, that's up to me. I can determine that. So what I keep saying over and over again, this is the bottom line. The FDA should not disempower the consumer guise of protection. They make it sound like they're trying to protect us, but they're really just disempowering us, and that's what has us concerned. So I feel like this play of power, you know, this is just government and consumer. This is a long history of the government trying to kind of step and take a little bit more power. And if we consumers don't body check these agencies, that's how we start losing our freedoms. And this is a pivotal time, I think, in alternative medicine and natural medicine. If you stand up and help homeopathy now, it sends a message to the government about, we have an eye on all these alternative practices, chiropractic, herbal medicine, essential oils. I mean, if they go after homeopathy and they can do this, that paves the way for them to be able to do more for all those other modalities.
Well, the thing is, it's really about, it's not even just about homeopathy. It's about them deciding what is valid and what is a benefit and what is like good society and what are the things that we approve of, approval. We don't need their approval. We need to be able to live, period. I mean, the government was formed for us to be able to live, not to conform. You know what I mean? We're not making a government to conform to. So this is...
It reminds me of like... Oh, go ahead.
Please, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I always interrupt people. You tell me to shut up when you want me to. But, you know, it reminds me of I have three kids. I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. You know, they fight sometimes. That just happens. And you know, the other day, my 6-year-old daughter, who has quite a mouth on her, she insulted her older brother, you know, and I sat her down. I was like, Eva, look, you cannot say this to your brother. But to me, it's not so much what she said right here, right now to her brother. It's that the overall... She needs to be kind to her sibling. And I feel like this is the same thing. It's not just that FDA is targeting homeopathy. It's not what's being said right now. It's that overall they can't do this to natural medicine, to things that they don't necessarily appreciate and understand. Does that make sense?
Let's be clear. They do appreciate and understand it. This is about money. This is the money god.
Oh, yeah.
This is about big pharma, because big pharma makes people sick. They are not interested in cures. They are interested in keeping people barely, they want them to be functional, live a good life, but you need our pharmaceuticals. You need to keep coming back, making your appointments. And in fact, in America, we give them money while we're living, all of our spare money, as much as we possibly can. And then when we start getting sick, they cap how much the insurance will pay. And then we go on the government dole, and the government gives money to these pharmaceutical and health industry people. So we are
That's right. Well, Mercola came out with an article that listed exactly how much pharmaceutical industry is giving the FDA directly. How much of this Big Pharma funds the FDA? I mean, how screwed up is that?
Well, yes. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, this is the interesting thing with this change of guard, and I call him Pinochet 2.0. I will stop calling him Traitor Trump, but this is really a shakedown, how they are breaking up our government. You know, Scott Pruitt, I think it was, paid, what was it, an exorbitant amount, $150,000 to build a wall, a door in his office. He built a private phone booth in his office that only he can go into, that's super sound, has no security, he can say whatever he wants. Why is that necessary in the people's house? And this is the thing, and the Republicans are allowing it to happen, just like the Parliament of Chile allowed Pinochet to be falsely installed after the Americans made some big show of the helicopters and the military coup. That was all just a shakedown. He was installed. And this is so similar, and it takes the and this kind of language that you're fighting, what you're doing, going to Congress, I sincerely applaud you, because these are grave and critical matters. People take them lightly, but I hope our elected officials are listening to this, because this gets to the heart of what America is about. We understand that we want industry. We want to build our country. We want innovative things. But we also want to create a healthy life for our children that allows for independent thought and education and improvement for the whole planet, instead of what we've been on, murder, death, kill, and nothing but destruction. If we look at what the results have been with the people who we have been following and allowing to be our leaders over the last 100 years, humanity is failing itself.
Yeah, that's right.
Time for us to apologize and just say, okay, man, we got it wrong, but we have the assets. Let's put some money into healing it. Let's figure out how to build industries correcting this. Let's expand the homeopathic industry. Let's stop using people for profit, because we got big enough problems. We don't even need, we could stop the death machine right now and just work on solutions. And these companies that planted this seed are going to still make their gazillions, because guess what? We're still going to get sick for the next 150 years. If we have a chance, we're going to have a society full of weak human beings. I mean, we're strong in spirit, but our DNA has been busted down. Our food supply has been busted down. So now we get to build it up with microbes, with real healing techniques, with love, generosity, harmony, working together. That will build up, and we can, I really believe that we can find solutions. I mean, I hope that we don't lose 3/4 of the planet's population in the next 50 years.
But we're very sick. We're very sick. I think I love what you said about, you know, harmony and kind of bringing together with love and acceptance. You know, I know that you were just talking about Trump and everything, but I have to tell you a couple of things about, you know, I've spent about 3 weeks now total on Capitol Hill. I left my family behind. My in-laws came into town to watch them. It was like this big family effort for me to be able to go. And I went with Mindy, the vice president, and Kaylee, our social media gal. And we really, to the detriment of our health, worked ourselves to exhaustion, because you're running between 6 different buildings on the House side, on the Senate side. And
right, because that's intentional. Let me tell you what, that's intentional, to keep people from taking action. They don't give you the time that you deserve.
We visited about 100 offices in that first week. Yeah, wow. When we really hit it hard. And what I have to say is a couple of things. As far as this FDA action, this isn't something that has just started with the
That's
current
true.
Administration. This
but
started
you know
in
what?
The last administration, too. And so to me, what I see is this is a bipartisan concern. Like both sides of the aisle, we should all care about health.
The money, so God. It is about the money,
That's right.
God.
That's right. Money has no, it's not Democratic or Republican. It's just green, right? And both sides, I think, have their hands in this. But I went to a really interesting meeting last week that I think you're going to really appreciate, Lonnie. It was the Congressional Caucus on Integrative Health and Wellness. And I flew all the way to D.C., left my family behind again, and went to this caucus. And it's a bipartisan caucus done by POLUS. And, oh, my gosh, now I'm going to forget his name. Congressman Polis and Congressman, Barney, I'll get it here in a second. But what they are doing is they're having an integrative health and wellness caucus to bring together different modalities of you know, like acupuncture, chiropractic, all those different modalities to try and give them opportunity in the government. Okay, so here's the really cool part.
That was Mike Kaufman, by the way. Is Jared Polis yes, from Colorado and Mike Kaufman from Colorado,
right.
Republican.
You can learn Democrat. More about this. Yes, that's right. Thank you for doing that. You can learn more about this on IHPC.org, Integrative Health PC Policy Consortium.org. Okay. And I love that this is a bipartisan issue that they're bringing together to try. And it's really cool. They're saying we don't want to hold up one modality over the other. So like chiropractic, we don't want to make chiropractic more important than acupuncture or homeopathy. They said we want in this integrative health and wellness consortium, we want everyone to have an equal seat in this conversation. And the angle they took, Lonnie, was the opioid crisis, right? Now, that's like obvious that it's not working. There's a lot of people addicted to drugs. And I thought it was just such an interesting meeting where they want to, you know, the mission of this caucus is to remove the barriers for people to have access to integrative health and wellness. And one
wow.
of the things they said, black and white, they said, we want, you know, we don't want only rich people to have access to integrative health and wellness.
Mm-hmm.
We want everyone to have access. And what was really cool is they had the former general surgeon of the Army, his wife, I forgot his name too. Maybe you can look it up too. You seem to have superpowers. His wife is actually an alternative medicine physician.
One of these guys, Mike Kaufman?
No, not the representatives. He's a former general surgeon of the military, and he's not anymore. But he really believes, because he says our guys are the ones that are suffering with chronic pain, and they are benefiting from yoga and acupuncture and all these different modalities, he said. And we need, you know, so his idea is like maybe through the military, that's our shoe-in to show that these integrative health and wellness ideas are benefiting people, and maybe it shouldn't just benefit the military. Maybe it should benefit all of the American people. So it's really this exciting opportunity. So if you want to do some good, if you guys are listening to this show, you need to urge your Congress people and your senators to join the Integrative Health and Wellness Caucus. That is a very important thing that you can
do. What about this bill?
Vote for people.
There is on House.gov, they put out a statement. It says, Polis and Kaufman launch bipartisan integrative health and wellness caucus, citing successes of integrative health treatments. Goes down and into the article. It's quite informative, this whole article. I recommend people looking at it. But it says it's improving them. They are outlining a bipartisan path to improving the Affordable Care Act. He helped introduce Medicare X, H.R. 494, which builds on successful framework of Medicare by providing a public plan as an option to the individual. So this guy Polis has some good ability to work within the Congress because they were able to successfully getting this thing through. So Have they introduced legislation? Is that the legislation, Paula?
Well, I think really the purpose of a caucus is to educate members of the House and the Senate on a specific issue. And yes, I mean, I think the more members, the more representatives, both senators and congressmen from both sides of the aisles that join this caucus, at those meetings we can build momentum, and this is how things happen. So I think our organization, homeopathychoice.org, very much supports this Integrative Health and Wellness Caucus. I love that it's so bipartisan, because I really think that trying to find what we have in common is going to help, like you were saying, to bring that harmony and that love. That doesn't mean we need to compromise our beliefs and our initiatives, but I think it's really a great opportunity to look at, you know, we all want health and wellness. And if we want this country to be strong, we need a strong society that lives here, that is not addicted to opiates. But that's kind of a side issue. You know, homeopathy choice is really about our health freedoms in regards to homeopathy. But we understand that really our health freedoms are being impacted from all sides. And that's why this caucus is such a great opportunity for
it's
us
true.
To kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our health has actually been, the choices, unless you resisted the system, your choices have been taken away by these addictive drugs that doctors have just dished out to you. People didn't volunteer to become opioid addicts. They didn't volunteer to like constantly need their pain medication, or I need my blood pressure. But the thing is, you know what? This is interesting. I did an EFT tapping video this morning that Brad Yates put out about making better choices. And in it, he talks about how we have, if you want to have a better life, you have to make different choices. You have to be willing to give up what you're currently doing and make a better choice. If you want things differently, like if you're in chronic pain, what you've been doing isn't working. There are solutions. We're not meant to live in pain. We really can find health care, and we can find health. Even after you've been disabled and harmed, you can improve your health tremendously through homeopathy, through different types of treatment. I mean, homeopathy for sure is not just a one cure all. As you say, it's integrative. This is the interesting thing about this. This is an integrative health and wellness foundation, because we have enough knowledge to understand we must integrate all these things for the human body to function correctly in this civilization that we're living in right now. We have a poison civilization, so we're not going to just be able to get up and have our blueberries and get going, you know what I mean? We're going to need a little helping hand, you know? So I sincerely applaud you. So when you went there, we have about 15 minutes left. I told you to go fast. I want to ask a few more questions.
Let's get
about your trip to Washington.
What is their goal?
Your response with these people, to what, when you talk to them in every of these offices, have you gotten back any positive feedback or, you know, an understanding?
Yeah, well,
yes, we want to hang on to this.
Yeah, so we actually have had, I think, of course, anytime you're going to go into those meetings, Lonnie, they're not going to look at you and say, no, this isn't important to us. You move along. You know, they're never going to say that to you. So, you know, the goal is really to kind of come out of those meetings and build relationships with those offices and really get them to champion this. But we did come out of there with some tangible things that happened. And I am really excited to share that with you. So, first of all, his name is Andy Biggs. He's a Republican congressman out of Arizona. He wrote a letter. So we have the CPG 400.400 that I was telling you guys about that we want to keep. That's the playbook. We want to maintain that playbook. But the FDA is wanting to totally trash that CPG section 400.400 that you know, guides homeopathy. They're wanting to completely throw it away in the trash and replace it with something that's more vague and really would injure the homeopathic industry, because it's so vague that when an FDA comes to, you know, inspect a facility, it really comes down to how they interpret things and the industry is going to be subject to the arbitrary actions of the FDA official. So we don't like that. We want to keep the CPG 400.400, and this draft guidance is a big concern to us. So I met with many different congressmen and senators' offices, but I got to meet directly with this Andy Biggs from Arizona, and he wrote a letter to the Appropriations Committee. This is really cool, Lonnie. You're going to love this. He wrote a letter to the Appropriations Committee, and he's asking them to cut the funding that the FDA would need to be able to pass this draft guidance. So he's trying to, like, cut their supply to be able to actually move on this action, which I thought was awesome. And so we're really thankful for Andy Biggs. We really want to see that happen. I think that's a great start. And then,
so he's just going to have it prevented from coming to the floor, in other words.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, to be honest with you, anytime you cut funding, it lasts about a year. So it's really a stay of execution. But that's still a good step in the right direction. It buys us some time to kind of build more momentum behind this. And so I really like Andy. I think he's doing some good things for us. And I was really appreciative of that. And then a couple of other letters that are coming out of this. Well, we focus on meeting with the congressmen and senators on both sides of the aisle, as long as they were on the oversight committees for the FDA. There's one on the Senate and there's one on the House. So Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah has written a letter to the FDA asking them to basically not do this. And so we need as many senators as possible to just ride his coattails and just sign on to his letter. I mean, that's super easy. Like, here's a letter. Sign here. Sign on the dotted line and support what Hatch is saying. So we really like that. And then also Congressman Costello, he is also writing a letter. So he's on the House side. He's on an FDA oversight committee, and he's writing a letter to the FDA with the same message. So we want as many congressmen as possible to sign on to his letters. So those are three letters that are in favor of us. And so what we need your listeners to do right now, it's going to take you 2 minutes. Go to homeopathychoice.org right now and click the button that says contact your senator. Copy our letter and then enter your zip code, and you just blast off that letter to both your senators. Okay? Just send it off and say, we want you to sign on to Hatch's letter. Just put your name on the dotted line and support this initiative. Because once that letter is written, it makes it so easy for them to just ride their coattails, right? And then at homeopathychoice.org, that's the same letter that you've copied. Copy it and send it to your congressperson and say, please sign on to the letter that Congressman Costello is sending the FDA. Because the more names that are on these letters, the that's more right. impact it will have, the more pressure it puts on the FDA. So we really need, I don't care who you are, if you use homeopathy or if you don't, this is a health freedom issue. This is your opportunity to kind of push back and maintain our freedoms. And that's at homeopathychoice.org. We've made it as easy as possible for you to just copy the pre-written letter. And also, Lonnie, on that letter, we're inviting them to join the Health and Integrative Health and Wellness Caucus. So we're saying sign on to the letter and also, by the way, join the caucus. So.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, so I have
really
a question
to
ask.
Tighten
so
our action plan.
These two letters that are coming out of the Congress and the Senate, did those happen mm-hmm. after your Washington, D.C. visit?
Yes, they did. Now, I can't take total credit for that. I will say that Andy Biggs was in directly because of what we did on the Hill. But Hatch and Costello, they were also being worked by different homeopathy individuals in the industry. So we have the American Association of Homeopathic Pharmacists. We have NASH, the North American Society of Homeopathy. So they were on the Hill, too. But, you know, it really helps because we as an organization, we're very consumer-based. I am not a homeopath. I don't, you know, sell homeopathic medicine. So my point is we don't have like a vested financial interest. We're just moms that want to take care of our families. And I really think that our message on the Hill bears a lot of meaning because we just want to take care of our families. And so, you know, I think it was really cool when I went into those appointments, Lonnie, I brought in my homeopathy kits, this little red box. When you open it, you see 100 little bottles in that box, all standing up in their own little, like, squares, you know. And when I opened that and showed it to the representatives in the offices, their eyes just about popped out of their heads. And they were like, whoa, what's that? And I said, this is my homeopathy kit. You know how to use all the medicines in that kit? And I said, yes, I do. That's exactly what I know how to do. And they are just so impressed with, oh, so homeopathy isn't herbs? And you're a smart lady to be able to know how to use this kit. And we want them to see the consumer as an intelligent body, as a body of empowered, knowledgeable individuals, you know? And so they want to empower this kind of person. And at the end of the day, we're sending the message of, we're going to vote for you if you support our freedom to choose our own health options, own healthcare options. So... I mean, it was a really, really good thing that we did. I felt, and I'm just amazed at the doors that have opened. I think it's a sign from, you know, I'm a person of faith. It's a sign from God, but, or higher power, the universe, whatever you want to label it as, you know, that we are in the right here and that we are doing some good things.
Well, I think I applaud you for that 100%. And the fact that you got the two letters subsequent to your activity, I think it really demonstrates that it does matter that we make these personal connections, because the people that are in government are regular human beings. And they don't know what they don't know until they know they don't know it. And it's our job to let them know. That's the bottom line. It's our job to let them know. A lot of them don't quite get it. Now, I know Orrin Hatch is a big, because he's a Mormon, I mean, that's really, he's always been into alternative care. He's not a big medical person, right? Because that's kind of part of their
religion. Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah,
frankly, Utah this really touches on people's religious freedoms, too. This is the other part of it.
It does.
Because some religions actually do not want you having that engaged in the pharmaceutical industry, frankly. I mean,
that's right.
Slice and dice machine that goes on with the AMA.
Well, but, you know, he's going to retire this year. Orrin Hatch is retiring this year. So we like, snuck in that letter with him at the last, you know, right before he goes. This is his last year. So we really need to look at who we're voting for, who's going to take, you know, we have Costello still, and we have Andy. Andy's a freshman on the Hill, so that's good. Representative Biggs. But we really need to look at, you know, especially on the Senate side, who we can have that will champion this for us, you know. So this is an important time that we really think about who we're voting. And, you know, this is what I recommend. Call those offices before voting season. How do you feel about the Integrative Health and Wellness caucus? Would you join that? How do you feel about this issue? How do you feel about, you know, forced vaccinations or my ability to choose homeopathy or the regular, you know, you need to kind of ask those questions and find out and share with your friends. But I think right now, the nice thing about homeopathychoice.org is we have made it as easy as possible, Lonnie, for you to just go to that website, copy a letter, and blast it off a couple of times to different, you know, to your congressman that's on the House side and your senators that's on the Senate side, right? So copy and paste and send it off, copy, paste, send it off. So I think that's what's really great about consumer groups like this one, is that we try and make it as easy as possible for you to write that, because it's time consuming to figure this all out. And so we've done it for you. Yay.
And on top of that, it's all digital. And with these representatives, it's not a personal contact. It's numbers. It's like the algorithms on Google, right? The numbers are what's going to sway their interest. If they see 200,000 people saying do this, then they're like, wow, I guess this is a lot of people, because they know very few people actually contact them, right? So this really goes to a deep, this is why this is important to take that action. It's very easy. The show will have your title name in it, in the title, you know, your web page. I've asked Jules if she can't get the whole thing in, to have her put in just in the notes. I don't know which way she'll work it, but it does matter. It does really, 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 this, because it's not just about medicine. This is about everything. This is about them telling us what's right. What's the right thing? What's a benefit? This language is completely dangerous. They have the right to oversee what things are a real benefit to people. How do they know what's a benefit? How do they know? Like, I certainly don't want to go to a slice and dice doctor, the American Murder Association. I honestly have no respect for MDs, to be frank. I mean, they have to earn my respect. I feel like they're barely, myself personally, I'm relatively hostile. When I went and got my knee, I broke my knee, I had to get surgery. That doctor was hilarious, because he could tell I like totally, I mean, I had to harass him because I didn't have health insurance. I had to call him nonstop at his cell phone for 24 hours. I actually found him at the, he refused to return my phone calls because I needed a machine that would bend my knee back and forth when I got my knee broken. But because I didn't have health insurance, he didn't prescribe it to me because he thought I couldn't afford it, because it's $100 a week. I'm like, that is not your, that's not your determination. I had to argue with him, and I called him. He was actually at the Saturday market. Finally, at Saturday market, I got a hold of him. I'm like, look, he's like, you have got to stop calling me. I'm like, well, then you have got to get me that prescription because I can't get it without you. I've just had knee surgery, and I don't want to go 72 hours without bending my knee, so you need to get it to me. I mean, it was really a ridiculous scene because I object to the health insurance industry. It's not that I can't afford it. F them. I am not going to pay for health care for profit. Period. No. Right. And I guess I have to pay premium when I have to use it. And I did. I mean, honestly. So
that comes back down to those health freedoms. We don't need you to not you, but, you know, the government or your doctor to say, you know,
Congress.
I prescribe it, gosh darn it, and let me have the ability to determine if I can, you know, call my family members and see who can help me make it. If this is that important for me, let me have the option to see if I can figure something out, you know, and I'm with you on that. Yeah, he should have not had, I mean, I feel like he has a moral right to prescribe, you know, that medical device or whatever it is that you need, especially if you want it, for heaven's sake.
It was stunning. It was a stunning experience in healthcare. But every time I go near those people, I always have I have lived a healthy life and I have kept myself well. I've gotten so-called cured of arthritis. I mean, I had pretty severe medical problems. So I went most of my life, in fact, all of my life until I found Dr. Bob, I basically believed the AMA knew everything. I believe that they knew everything. I was like everyone else. Oh, well, I've got, you know, I need to go to the doctor because I've got cancer because they know.
Well, we all start off that way, I think.
Exactly. So I am so proud of you for going there. Honestly, I am tickled to death, Paula, that you have come onto our show because your actions in standing up for this and getting two letters out of these senators, and I really implore everyone to please go to your website. And let's repeat the website again. I have it pulled up. It's called homeopathychoice.org.
That's right. And it's really three letters. Let's not forget Andy Biggs. That was a big win for us. That was huge. So you're right, though. I think that I'm just asking your listeners to please just ride our coattails. We worked so hard, and I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for you to send those letters into your people. It really will take two minutes of your time.
On your webpage, the first thing you do when you go down on your webpage is you see a red button that says update your senators, blue button, update your representatives. And I think you got the color right, because without the Senate, without the red senators, the blue, you know, it doesn't matter really what happens in the House if the senators don't support it. So I think
okay, well, good. I know you. I try to be really bipartisan, but I hear what you're saying.
So it's unconsciously, you got the scene here right, because really, this is really serious. And if we can get enough of these senators to really buy into this language that it's not the government's decision to decide what's the right thing for us, it's their decision to make what's being produced is healthy. I mean, is not going to harm us, and does what it says it's going to do. That's a reasonable thing. They can't allow people to sell sham stuff, although they do. There's lots of products out there that, and even a lot of this medication. Why do you think we have the opopioid crisis? Because the doctors sent this will cure your pain. And then what they forgot to tell you is it makes you addicted. So for the rest, I mean, it's a hard addiction. It's not an easy thing to get over.
I know that. It breaks my heart.
But
it
homeopathy
really does.
Really helps. You can't get help through homeopathy, to be honest. That's probably why
the cool thing is, you know, that Integrative Health and Wellness Caucus, they were talking about Arnica Montana. When used after surgery, it reduces the amount of time people have pain. If they use the Arnica Montana after surgery, they're just needing an extra strength Tylenol and an extra strength Advil.
That's true.
You don't need... Yep, you don't need to go in for the opiates. I mean, talk about, like, I think the majority of people who are addicted to opiates, they start after surgery. But for heaven's sake.
So guess what, Paula? We have to cut off. We have 5 seconds. Paula Brown.
Thank you.
Homeopathychoice.org. Thanks for listening. Thank you for joining us, Paula. Really appreciate it.